first thing that happened when I found out that I was going to be a dad, I cried, you know, and my heart expanded. It just got bigger.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
Hey everyone, Art Eddy here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast, and on the line I'm very happy to have the very talented Michael O'Neill. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
You know what? I'm good, Art, and I'm happy to be speaking with you. I'm doing it from the quiet of social separation, so or social distancing. So this is sort of what we do now.
For sure. And again, for everyone out there, stay safe, and I hope you stay safe as well, sir. And I have to say, Council of Dads, this is so in my wheelhouse. I love the show. I got to see the pilot episode. I've been sharing this the idea of the story. I'm like, hey, you know, to my friends, not just who are dads, but like, you need to check out this show. You have been in so many great movies, so many great shows. Talk about how you approached this role of Larry Mills. And for those who don't know, Council of Dads was based on a true story about a gentleman who had cancer, and he got a bunch of his friends, his male friends who were, you know, he trusted, and, you know, said, hey, if I don't make it through this, I want you to help be there and be there part of raising my kids. And so you play Larry Mills, one of the people who are in the Council of Dads. Talk about how you approach this role for Larry Mills, and also what stands out to you so much about this series, sir?
Well, it's funny, Art, because you sort of just said it. The thing that initially hit me, I have three daughters. And because of the fact that when Bruce got diagnosed with a really bad acting cancer, after having identical twins, you know, his children were very, very young when he was diagnosed. And the odds weren't great for that cancer when Bruce Feiler was diagnosed. And I have identical twin girls. So we share that in common. And the first thing that I thought of is, what would happen to my children? Who would look after them? What would it mean that I couldn't be there for them, or I wouldn't let them see to grow into to be citizens? That grabs you somewhere on the backside of your heart and squeezes really hard. And so the preparation for Larry, one is that he owes Scott, which Tom Everett Scott played beautifully, he owes him a debt of gratitude, because Scott was his sponsor in AA. Scott knew that Larry had lost a family to alcoholism, and I think he was giving him an opportunity not just to help his family and make sure he could mentor his children, but to give Larry an opportunity to have a second chance. Mm. And so we all three of us dads come from different walks of his life. Clive Stanton, who you've spoken with, who plays Anthony beautifully, was a boyhood friend. So they hold one another's history. And then J. August Richards, who plays Oliver Post, was his oncologist and his wife's best friend. So he helped him through this really dangerous and frightening journey. And then me, who's his sponsee and a lot older than he is, in AA. So he's taken us from different aspects of his life, and yet he trusts the three of us that if he doesn't survive, to mentor his children. So that's what spoke to me so much when I first read it. I found myself breathing in twice, almost per page, because they'd written something so true and something that I felt was timely and necessary. I didn't realize that it would be timely to what we're going through right now, Art.
Yeah.
We need one another terribly, and yet at the same time, we're having to practice kind of wise distancing from one another. I saw a little blurb recently of audience responses to the show. The pilot had been screened for sure. And one man said, he's a, you know, a tough guy. He said, it felt like a hug. And I thought, yeah, that's what we want from one another right now. And yet wisdom says we can't do that physically. We've got to find another way to reach out and emotionally connect to one another.
Spot on with that response about a hug. That show, I mean, I'm getting goosebumps just when you said that, sir, because there are so many themes beyond fatherhood, like I mentioned, that go into this show. For Larry, we see him come in at different stages, and we don't know what to make of him, right? And then you're also like, while I'm watching, I'm like, why would the dad bring him in? And is he like the tough love part of the equation? Like, what's going on? And you see certain aspects, and you see Larry, you get to learn more about his character. Talk about one of the scenes that I really loved was the learning to drive part, you know, just where you're trying to kind of almost give that tough love. Talk about how much you have put yourself and your experiences as a dad in that role. And then also too, like, cause you have to like balance, like you want to put that fatherhood hat on that you have, sir. But then also you want to approach it from Larry Mills's character's perspective as well. So how'd you kind of balance that scene? Because again, that scene, I mean, the whole episode was great, but especially talking to you, that scene definitely stood out to me.
Yeah. Art, thank you. I love that scene. I love that. I do think Larry is tough love. You know, he's an ex-military guy. He's a businessman. He has a sense of trying to do the next right thing from a generation where the next right thing isn't always, you know, touchy-feely and careful. Larry's very, very direct, and he's trying to teach a 16-year-old who's lost confidence and doesn't feel like he knows how to do anything right. And by the way, is in the process of losing his dad. Larry takes it upon himself to address the area that he can address. He teaches the boy to drive. And what's so beautiful about the scene is the directness of the mechanics of saying, okay, do this, you know, the hands at 10 at 2, da, 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 da. But then there's also a life lesson going on underneath.
Yeah.
The shift of the scene that happens when Larry goes from being, you know what, listen to me, to let me tell you something about my life that you don't know. And I love that pulled it in. Theo turns to me and says, why are you doing this? You know, in that wonderful surly way that every 15, 16-year-old kid in the world that we know does, right?
Yeah.
And will drive you right out the window.
Yeah.
And yet the moment turns to something else, you know, and it turns to an unlikely fatherhood. And I hoped in that moment that Scott had picked Larry well.
Yeah.
That he had, the trust and the faith that he'd put in me, I was able to repay moment for moment. So I love that scene. I hope people, you know, recognize themselves in it. I hope they recognize their children in it. I mean, I can remember teaching my girls to drive, you know, and those moments of, wait, mama, stop, just stop, you know, stop the car. If you don't stop this car right now, I'm going to eat that steering wheel. So, you know, and on the one hand, you're out of control and you're trying to open your palms and trust that they're going to be okay. And on the other hand, you just can't help yourself.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of both in that scene, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And one of the underlying themes that I have learned since doing these podcasts, since talking to other dads and making sure that my daughters, I have two of them, they're 12 and 9 right now. And I have to I have to make sure that I appreciate what they're going through. And, you know, sometimes it's the easy answer, like, oh, don't worry, sweetie, it'll take its course. Don't worry about it. And when you look back, it's fine. But that's not the answer that they need. Right. And you want to see, like, all right, why is it making you feel this way? Let's talk about it. It could be good, bad, whatever the case may be. You want to understand, like, you want to put yourself in their shoes because you've been there at that age before. But, you know, the driving scene I thought was great because that dialogue is like, well, why are you doing this? What's going on? I think sometimes we don't communicate, right? In any type of relationship, you need that communication. And once people understand where you're coming from and maybe your actions might be a little gruff or depending on the person, their actions might be a little bit hard to understand. But once you have that conversation, once you communicate, that's why I think that scene is so beautiful because there is trying times. There's a lot of things that are going on in that. But then you share that moment with that, you know, with the actor and obviously in that scene where it's like, all right, this is why. And when you learn the why, I think you can digest things more. And I think that's a great theme now more than ever. So that's why I just kind of want to chat with you about that scene, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Art. You know, I think that the wonderful thing that happened in that scene was that Larry told the truth.
Yes.
And when you do that with any child, because they know if you tell them the truth, then you've created a trust and a bond. It may take a moment for them to realize that that's what's happened, but that's exactly what occurs. And I felt that transpire between MJ and I. MJ Anthony, you know, plays Theo in this. He's a wonderful actor. And there's so many levels of things going on with him. But I love the fact that once you tell the truth, then trust has an opportunity to begin to build. And also their boundaries. You know, kids need boundaries. They want them.
Yeah.
And and how you go about setting those boundaries is really, really important. But I love what you said, you know, understanding where they are in a given time. I hate the times that I gave my daughter short shift because I couldn't hear where they were. And then there have been other times that, you know, I could hear it very, very clearly. I remember years ago, someone said to me, you know, nobody gets out of childhood uninjured.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, yeah. And they said, by the way, nobody gets out of parenthood uninjured either. And I, you know, and then after they pick me up off the floor, you know, we do the best we can. You know, we love them and we try to guide them as best we can and trust that they pick good friends, because that becomes really important in a period of time.
Yes.
And because, you know, those influences, yours are 9 and 12. And it's fascinating because you still have the quote unquote moral authority. You can still say, no, this is what you're going to do. And this is, but 15 and 16, it's a little trickier. You start lobbying for influence there, you know?
Yeah.
So mine look at me sometime and go, yeah, we know that.
And yeah, it's, I appreciate that, because just being a parent, and you talked about, you don't go through a childhood uninjured, and the same thing for a parent. Like, I remember when you hold your child for the first time, and I'm going to ask you your thoughts when you became a dad for the first time in a second, but you have that moment, like, you get nervous, and then when you become a dad, and you're like, can I do this? And then the way you get that embrace, and you're like, all right. Like a calm, like, I got this, right? But then, like, when you see them, like, learning how to walk, and you, like, you know, the helicopter parent, you like, they got to learn to fall. They got to, like, maybe get some bumps and bruises. But one of the things that, like, struck me is when my kids went to preschool, and they would meet a friend, and maybe the person was like, yeah, I'm not talking with you, get out of here. And you, like, you feel for them, and you want to go over and be like, don't worry, it's okay. You should hang out with my daughter and all this other stuff, but you can't do that. And I think the emotional heartbreaks that your kids are going to receive, I think, are one of the most damaging things, because you're like, you know, they have to go through it. It's going to suck, but, like, they have to go through it, because we've all had heartbreak. We've all had mistrust in people and all that. But I think what you said over there about, you know, a parent, you never stop worrying. You never stop being a parent and all that. But just once you were saying that, just took me back to that time where I'm like, how can I be emotionally there for them when I might not be there? Like, I might not be 100% there because I feel bad and I want to, like, heal all their wounds, right?
Yeah, to wanting to correct a situation that they really need to experience. I had a terrible time with that. You know, I can remember, because you did a podcast on bullying, and I remember at a basketball camp, one of my daughters, who's just the kindest kid imaginable, some girl decided to bully her, and she picked the wrong twin. If she picked the other twin would have nosed her up, but this particular girl simply didn't know kind of what to do. And I remember, oh my gosh, Art, I remember sitting down with her and I going, okay, listen, Molly, here's the thing. I want you to just do one thing. I want you to see her nose. Just see her nose. And I want to take your right hand, and I want you to close it up at the side of your body, and then I want you to see that nose, and I want you to take your right hand, and I want you to hit that nose as hard as you can. You're only going to have to do it once in your life. But you got, and my wife, thank God, heard me. Right? She came out of that room so fast. What are you doing? I said, she's not going to be bullied, honey. I don't want her afraid of people. And she said, listen, this is not Molly's problem. This is the coach's problem. You need to go talk to the coach and let the coach intercede. I was like, oh, you mean I don't have to fix this? She said, no. In fact, your fix is not the solution, pal. So it's tough because, you know, I'm an older guy. I'm an older Larry. You know, you dealt with it a certain way, right? Well, times have changed a bit. Not always, but sometimes. And so I'm learning. I'm learning. It's just, I agree with you. There's things that you want to protect your children from, and they need something in their column. They need something, you know, they need grit. That's what I want for my girl. I want them to have grit. And sometimes the only way to get that is to find out you can survive an experience. And yeah, it's difficult. And yeah, you wish it were otherwise. But it puts something, you know, it drops a marble in the jar that you can rely on later.
For sure. Thanks very much. A couple more questions about the series, Council of Dads, and then we'll get into, I mean,
yes,
the whole thing is about fatherhood. But again, you've been in so many great shows, great movies and all that. Talk about, and everyone takes in a show differently. Everybody takes in art differently. But for you, what is, like, maybe, like, one theme you hope people will take away from the series?
Honestly, I hope they see themselves in it. Mm-hmm. The story that we're telling is universal. I don't know of a family who's not been through a hardship that didn't have to figure out a way to adjust and huddle together and find a new way forward. And this is a difficult hardship. You know, Tom Everett Scott, who plays the dad, the dysdiagnosis, he's the heartbeat of this thing. So when something happens to him, Art, how do you keep the heart going? And that's thematically what's happening here. This family has to find a way to keep going. and of course they had this council of dads, which we find out it takes three dads to do what one mom does on a daily basis. But I think that's the thing for us that's being more revealed, and I hope that families will see themselves and realize there's a way forward. And there's we just have to huddle together and look after. You know, there's a wonderful byline in this, is that family is who you love and who loves you. It looks differently now than it did when I was a kid growing up. Yeah. You know, if you looked at the photograph, we were like a mom and dad and two parents, mm-hmm. right? And they all looked alike. And it doesn't look like that anymore. It does in some places, and it does in some. But the vast majority of families are very, very diverse now. And they include people that are not necessarily blood relatives. And that's what's happening here. So I hope people honestly look at it and see themselves and realize that that the feelings are the same, and that these characters are pretty much somebody you already have in your own life. And, you know, how do you include them? How do you bring them in? How do you ask them for help? You know, people see asking for help as a weakness. It's not at all. Sometimes it's a great strength. So that's my hope for us and for them, is that they just see themselves and that we're honest. We always stay honest and true to what, you know, what our circumstance is.
Well said, Michael. I really appreciate that.
Thank you again for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Right now, we're going to take a quick break with a word from our sponsor, and then we'll get right back into the interview. Enjoy. This week's episode is being brought to you by Let's Get Checked, the leading provider of at-home health tests. Guys, now more than ever, you want to make sure that you're taking care of yourself, not just for you, but for your family, right? With Let's Get Checked, you can do simple at-home health tests that give you a complete picture of your health in 5 days. Did you know that 42% of people have said that they've never checked their thyroid function? Thyroid function is important for so many different functions like bone maintenance, stimulating digestion, brain development, and cardiovascular health. Some of the main symptoms of a thyroid imbalance could be weight gain, fatigue, hair loss, poor tolerance for the cold, depression, and muscle cramping. So how does the process work? Your test is delivered straight to your door. You just have to collect a simple blood sample from the tip of your finger, mail the sample back to an accredited laboratory with a prepaid label, and receive support and guidance from an LGC medical team who are available 24/7 to offer you personalized advice to let you know about your hormonal health. This week, Let's Get Checked wants to invite you to join their community with a 20% off discount code. Use FATHER20 over at their website at trylgc.com. That's trylgc.com.
Now I'm going to ask you, take me back when you found out you're going to be a dad for the first time. What was going through your mind, sir?
Oh, my gosh. You know, I was older, Art. I was older the first it happened. And that daughter now is 22. And then, you know, 8 months later, we had two more. So if I had known, what I would have thought was that I was overrun. And I was overrun. But the first thing that happened when I found out that I was going to be a dad, I cried.
Yeah.
And my heart expanded. It just got bigger. I'll never forget the sensation of, because to know how big your world gets when a child comes into it, when you know that you're going to be. And I did, I think, what a lot of dads do. I started figuring out, okay, I got to walk the perimeter. You know, I got to make sure everything is safe here. I got to figure out financially how I'm going to support this child. Mary started nesting. She was like, okay, we're going to do this and this and this and this and this. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to plan this out. How do I baby-proof everything? How do I protect it? I've got to get better locks for the gate. You know, I was pretty stereotypic in that regard. But I think that I realized that this life had gotten so large, and that something in my animal that I didn't really know yet was triggered. It was triggered to protect. It was triggered to love and to embrace. It did a lot for me. You know, I say my life started again in some respects when my daughters got here.
Oh, that's fantastic, Michael. And, you know, especially with, I love, we'll definitely put up links where people can follow you on Twitter and on your Instagram. But there was one where you were, I think it was with one of your daughters, and I think it was, and pardon my ignorance, it was either the daughter that of the twins that came before or after. You're like, oh, this one would, if like 2 seconds, would have been the older one or something along those lines. So talk to me about, so you had your first daughter and then you have twins. I always joke like I'm out, man, because even the cats in our house are female. So it's like, you know, I'm outnumbered big time. Talk a little about what was your reaction when you found out you're going to have twins, sir?
When my first daughter was born and they said it was a girl, I said, back up on that. I got no idea to do with a girl. I grew up in locker rooms. So I said, let's take another look. Let's just make sure, because I'm pretty sure I make boys, right? And the doctor just looked at me like, yeah, there's another idiot. And so it was, I was so taken aback by how large the playing field became with such a small little package. I mean, she was 6 pounds when she was born. And, you know, you do all the things that one does in terms of just sitting there and watching her sleep for hours ad nauseum. Oh, wow, she's sleeping like she invented sleeping. And then, you know, to our surprise, we had twins. That was like, oh, my God, it's all hands on deck here. We are, you know, we went from man-to-man coverage to zone coverage like in an instant. So, yeah, overrun. I can remember when my voice was deeper, you know, because I'm like you. I got all women around me. Even my dogs are girls. They look at me like, just hang in there, Dad. We're going to teach you how to do this. And they often do. And if they don't, I just pretend like they have, because that's a lot smoother. I was proud. You know, I was, if that may be the wrong word, but I was really proud that I had these kids to look after. And it made me a much better actor, because when I came home, they didn't care if the audition went well. They didn't care if I got the part. What they cared was, on the other side of the screen door, Dad was coming home.
Yeah.
That did, you know what I mean? That did something for me.
Oh, love it, man. Thank you so much. Now I got just two more questions before I hit you up with a fatherhood quick five. What are some of the core values you were looking to instill into your kids as they were growing up? Because you made a good point, like 15, 16, 17, they're kind of like, yeah, I got this, Dad, Mom, I'm good. But what were some of the values you were looking, you and your wife were looking to instill into them as they were growing up?
Well, my wife was really, really good about this art. She realized that they needed to understand something about service. They needed to begin doing for other people. And I just passed the National Cemetery in Los Angeles off the 405. And I remember when we took our girls out there for Veterans Day to put flags on every grave, you know. So there were things that I think my daughters understood long before I did of how important love and service was in a community. And they're, you know, that's one. And then when they were Girl Scouts, they ended up selling more Girl Scouts cookies than anybody in Los Angeles. The three of them, you know, I remember going to LAX and helping load the C-130. We were the beginning of the chain. They certainly weren't going to let us on the tarmac, but they were sending those Girl Scout cookies to troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, right? Because you got a lot of 18 and 19 and 20 year old kids over there that, you know, Girl Scout cookies are a great comfort. So, you know, that was the first thing, love and service, to realize that they had a God in their lives, you know, and that could take many forms. And but there was something out there that was greater than they were. And I thought that was a value that was important for them, you know, and then to, you know, look after one another as best they could. They get in the squabbles that all kids get into, but understand that they're family. And that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what they have. And they hold one another's history. Take care of it.
Fantastic right there, Michael. What is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer to new dads?
I would say, when you make a mistake, and you will, just tell them it's your mistake. Mm. You know, just go to them and say, you know what? I know you feel like you did something wrong, but that was on me. Mm. That was my mistake. Because I don't know of a child that's not egocentric. They feel like they're right at the center of the world. And if something's wrong, they had a part in it. And it's important for them to know that, no, I'm the dad and that was my mistake. I've got a point now where I can stick my head in my daughter's bedroom and they go, it's okay, we know, Dad. So I'm like, oh, okay. But I would say that, don't be afraid to make the mistake, you know, to tell them that it was your mistake.
And what a great life lesson you're sharing with them too, because it's okay. Cause some, you know, again, like you're saying, asking for help is a pride issue. And like, but it's more like, no, if you're asking for help, you can show, like, you know, you have, you're strong in yourself and be like, all right, I know I'm going to need help for this, but also too showing that you did make a mistake. And then their kids will see like, oh, well, my dad's admitting that he made a mistake. I guess I can too. Right. So
yeah,
spot on right there, Michael. Now we're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. Favorite family movie. Do you guys have one?
You know, we always like Secondhand Lines.
Mm.
And the girls like Mamma Mia. I like Swiss Family Robinson because
nice.
I love it when the kids make the coconuts go down the hill and hit the pirates in the head.
Nice. that's so good. Do you guys have a favorite song or a group, or was there a band or an artist you couldn't wait to introduce them to when they got to a certain age to understand like why you like this band or artist?
You know, I couldn't wait to let them hear the Beatles. Because it's as funny as that is to say for you and I, because we know how important the Beatles are for you and me. They had no exposure yet. So to make sure that they understood how important the Beatles were, and once they were introduced, the music will take care of itself. Mm. But that was an important one, was to make sure that they, you know, that they followed the Beatles. And I have to say, selfishly, jazz.
Nice.
I really wanted to know who, you know, Ben Webster was and Art Tatum and a lot of guys that I grew up listening to. And it's always fascinating to me. They'll stop and listen to a jazz radio hour. They'll just stop what they're doing and listen to it. I'm like, wow, that took, didn't it?
Well done, sir. Love that.
Yeah.
Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
The perfect family vacation. I think it's for them, it's skiing. It would be Mammoth. You know, for them to just go skiing together. I unfortunately am still in the beginner's class, and they don't seem to mind that because they can like whip down the mountain and I'm still snow plowing down the, you know, the beginner slope, but they'll come and visit me when they get hungry.
Nice. Many great shows, fantastic movies. Was there a movie that kind of gave you some cool dad street cred when like they saw that you were in the show where they're like, Dad, that's what you got in that movie? Like, you know, so-and-so. Did you have any of those experiences?
I did. I had it vividly, Art. We were in Palm Springs on a 4th of July weekend, and it was the weekend that the first Transformers film came out. And so I think the girls were about 4 and 5. Ella was 5. Annie, Molly were 4. As soon as I walked on the screen, and the theater was totally quiet, and one of the girls goes, Dad, that's you. And every head in the theater snapped in my direction. And then as soon as it was over with, and we were outside and I was waiting for some friends to, you know, come out of the restroom or whatever it was, but the girls sort of huddled up underneath my wings, you know. And what they were saying was, yeah, this is my dad. He was in that film, you know. So, yeah, that was a big one for me.
Oh, love it. And you were great in that role. I'm a big Transformers geek growing up as an 80s kid. Well done in that movie as well, sir. And lastly...
Yeah, thank you, Art.
Oh, for sure. And lastly, what are the top 3 words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad?
Loving, complicated, and present.
Oh, great, great 3 words right there. People, make sure you follow Michael on Twitter at ThisMikeO'Neill, and also check out Council of Dads on NBC. It's a great show. Michael, again, thank you very much for your time. Safe travels to you and your family. And again, continued success in the future. And I really, really appreciate your role on this show and this conversation about fatherhood. It meant a lot chatting with you. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, Art. It was great being with you. I hope we can do it again.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.